Friends, let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I was preparing for this morning's service, one of the commentaries I read on a weekly basis, the commentator Caroline Lewis, who you've heard me quote quite frequently, said, "Don't overthink it. The story tells itself." Which is, of course, not an excuse to get out of writing a sermon. But the story does tell itself. And what a story it is. Two Jesus scholars, Marcus Borg and John Crossan, they provide a riveting image that we can begin with today. They write that there were two processions that Passover week. From the west came Pilate, draped in the gaudy glory of imperial power, horses, chariots, and gleaming armor. He moved in with the Roman army at the beginning of Passover week to make sure that nothing got out of hand. Insurrection was in the air, with the memory of God's deliverance of the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. And from the east came another procession, a commoner's procession, Jesus in ordinary robe, riding on a young donkey. The careful preparations suggest that Jesus had planned a highly ritualized, symbolic, prophetic act. Luke has in mind the prophecy of Zechariah, found in chapter 9, the coming of a new kind of king, a king of peace who will dismantle the weaponry of war. As Jesus enters, a whole multitude of disciples throng around, spread their cloaks on the road, and lift loud their praise. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. King has been added to the Hallel song that they sing. And so we have a clash of kingdoms, Caesar or Christ. Caesar's kingdom is based on domination and ruthless power, the kind of kingship Jesus refused when tempted in the wilderness. The kingdom of God, which Jesus preached, is based on justice, mercy, and the love of God. We have our choice. Pax Christi or Pax Romana. Our challenge is, how do we show the gospel of the kingdom that it does have political implications that transcend our everyday political loyalties? And so welcome to Palm Sunday. Welcome to the conclusion of the story we read on Transfiguration Sunday, when Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop. They had a conversation there about Jesus' departure, his exodus. And today, on Palm Sunday, Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, just as Pilate and the powers of empire arrive, so does Jesus. And his exodus has come to conclusion. This is the final week of his earthly ministry, and it begins in Jerusalem. And such an entry that Jesus makes, well, it makes him a target. And I wonder, what did it feel like for Jesus to enter into Jerusalem one last time? We know he's been coming since he was a boy for Passover week. What did it feel like to come in that one last time, knowing the events of the week. If you will recall, in previous weeks, the Pharisees have warned Jesus that Herod wanted to kill him. But there is Jesus, riding into Jerusalem with royal pretense. And as we know, it brings down the wrath of those in power. Jesus will be brought before the Sanhedrin, the religious establishment. He will be brought before Herod, the puppet king. And finally, he will be brought before Pilate, the governor of these lands, who wields the full power of the Roman Empire. And though Pilate will try to wash his hands clean, each will find Jesus guilty, will find him wanting. But Jesus will not be put off his course. He will not turn away. He brushes aside the warnings and those final words of our passage. He proclaims his purpose. I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. We know that those who were praising his name on this day will turn on him within the week. Those who are declaring him Messiah and shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven," these same people will shout, "Crucify, crucify," by the end of the week. How fickle they were. And if you think we are any different, pay more attention to the news. People today are not so different. But for now, we stop, we pause, and we focus on the joy that must have been felt by those who were present. In that day, in that moment, the promise that they saw with that procession from the east as Jesus comes into Jerusalem. Scott Jose talks about joy this way. He writes, "Joy for Christian people is a last feeling, not a first. Christian joy is refined and thoughtful because it has passed through death. Next Sunday, we will celebrate Easter, and we will do it from the midst of a war-ravaged world. In one sense, it is awfully surprising that when the Son of God came to this earth, he died so hideous a death in order to save us. At the same time, however, given the bloody state of affairs we so routinely encounter in this world, it seems also inevitable that God would save us in precisely the way he did." Joy is a last feeling. And yet there's the crowd, joyful. And we join that crowd today. We shout hosannas. We bask in the joy of that moment. For today, we witness the Messiah, the Son of God, enter into Jerusalem, the holy city. We join with the crowd and observe how Jesus will confront the powers of empire and how he will establish a new order based on God's values. Jesus enters Jerusalem and he stands for the values of the kingdom of God. And though others will be silenced over that week, Jesus will not. Will we? Will our voices be muted just as the crowd's voice grew quiet over the course of the week? At the end of the week, will we stand with the peace of Christ or with the peace of Rome? Will we choose empire and the way that things have always been? Or will we choose the peace of Christ and strive for something different in this world? Will injustice, intolerance, division, hatred, and selfishness win out in our hearts? Or will love, peace, mercy, righteousness, and grace be written into our lives? Will we continue to speak and advocate for these changes in our lives, but also in the lives of those around us, in the society that we are a part? Will we continue to declare the kingdom of God, or will Christ need to command the stones to speak due to our silence? We are in Holy Week. The week we are about to enter, it's not about arguing whether these things happened. It's not about trying to prove that Jesus was a real person, that he was the Son of God. It's not about finding definitive proof that he died and was resurrected. We don't need to prove these things to the world. Holy Week is about reflecting on how those events from 2,000 years ago affect our lives today and what we will do about it. Amen.